one who has been born King of the Jews. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let me just pray for God's word, pray for Andy as he speaks to us, for us as we listen. Father, I want to thank you for your word that tells us the story, in this occasion, of Jesus being born and the way in which he was greeted. Help us to think again about what it means, what it meant, what it means to us. Pray for Andy as he comes and opens your word to us, that you would fill him once again with your spirit, you would anoint him with all your goodness, and that as he shares with us what you've laid on his heart, we would hear you speaking to us, and that as we hear your voice, as we hear your word, you would change us through the power of your spirit and draw us closer to Jesus. Pray your blessing in his name. Amen. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Graham. Well, it's almost Christmas. It's great to be here. It's great to see some families here, and my mum and dad are here at the back, so say hi to them afterwards. It's just great to be family together, isn't it? I was really sad to hear that Jean had passed this week. She was one of my favourite people here at West Street. I loved her very much. She was fantastic. But, you know, at the same time, we've got... one of my favourite things in worship here is seeing Remy running around. Where does he get that energy from, honestly? Goes everywhere at 100 miles an hour. I don't know how you guys keep up. makes me feel old just seeing him running around like that. Brilliant. So anyway, so we've got the opportunity today to continue looking at some of the stories in the New Testament around the birth of Jesus. And today, Graham has just read the verses in Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 to 12, around the wise men. And the topic that we got for today is called Seeking and Finding. You know, this story about the wise men and the other stories in the New Testament are so familiar that sometimes we can miss the impact, can't we? We can just hear it, and we've heard it hundreds of times. But as I studied this story preparing for today, I was just really impressed with the power of the story of the wise men to speak into our lives. But before we get started, I just want to give a little bit of context. And I know most of you here know exactly the context for the story, but we're in the Middle East, in the Holy Land of Israel. Jesus has just been born. We think in this story he's probably around 2 years old. And we're right at the beginning of the New Testament, which obviously begins with the birth of Jesus. The Old Testament story is complete. The 39 books of the Old Testament, that story is complete, and a new story is beginning. And as I was looking at this, I was just reminded of we're obviously 2,000 years on from the birth of Jesus, But I was just reminded of the previous 2,000 years and what had happened to the Jewish nation over the 2,000 years before this story. From when the Jewish nation was founded, around 2,000 years before Christ, by Abraham, who was a friend of God, somebody who knew God personally. Over the years, God met with his people in different ways, at different times. We all know of Moses, around 1,500 years before Christ. He made a special tent, a place for people to meet with God, where the priests used to go in and worship. And about 500 years later, they replaced the tent with a temple, a beautiful, costly temple made out of the finest materials. The whole interior was covered in gold, a place to meet with God and to worship God. And the narrative of the whole Old Testament reminds us that God wants to meet with us. He wants to be with us, present with us, and he wants us to enjoy his presence. He made us to worship him, to be in daily relationship with him. But the tent was only temporary. It's no longer around. And the temple, as you can see on the chart here, was actually destroyed about somewhere around 500, it's a bit more than that, 500 years before Christ. Didn't last very long. And it was destroyed. It was burnt with fire. You can read about that in the last chapter of Jeremiah. And there's a whole book called Lamentations, just going through how terrible that disaster was. This place, which was made to host the presence of God, was gone. It was destroyed. It was no more there. So these are temporary places of worship. But the great thing about Christmas is God has come to earth personally. Not just in a symbolic way, in a tent or a temple for a temporary period, but he wants to be with us and to dwell with us or to remain with us. And with the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the most extraordinary thing happened. God in human form, a baby, living, breathing, walking among us, was here on the earth. And anyone could meet with God, could go and meet Jesus while he was here. God with us, or as the Bible says, Emmanuel. And of course, we have the amazing privilege to still have God with us today, because when Jesus went back to heaven, he left us his Holy Spirit, who is always with us. We have God with us even now. The extraordinary thing, though, about this event, if you look how momentous this event was, and the birth of Jesus is the pivot of history, isn't it? You know, I've shown you 2,000 years before, we're 2,000 years on. It's like a pivot on which the whole of history turns. We even set our clocks by it, don't we, our dates. But that so many people in Israel at this time actually missed this life-changing event. They didn't realize it was happening right in front of them. And Graham spoke about this last week. He read these verses a bit further from where Heather just read, in John chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, where, speaking of Jesus, John says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's extraordinary, isn't it, that Jesus, God, could come to earth, the promised Messiah, and the people who had that promise didn't actually recognize him. Just imagine that one of your family members came home for Christmas and you were just out. You weren't there to receive them. You know, how would they feel? You know, a lot of us have got family with us at the moment. We love to be together, don't we? And God made this special entrance in Bethlehem, and so few people were there to welcome him. He was the promised Messiah, the Savior, long awaited by the Jewish people, and he was here on earth. There would have been people living to the right and the left of where Mary and Joseph were. We don't hear about them, do we? We don't find out what happened with the neighbors. And really, the Jewish people are the people of that promise, were the people who should have been waiting for the birth of Jesus, expecting it and seeking him out. It's one of the extraordinary things in this story is that we've got these wise men from many thousands of miles away, and we'll come to them in a minute, looking for Jesus, desperately trying to find him, determined to find him, won't give up until they have found him. But people right there, with Jesus right under their noses, perhaps missed this great event. And they had these promises. We read one of them today from Matthew 2, verses 6. You know, this was the teachers of the law. They knew what the Old Testament scriptures said. You know, there's several hundred prophecies about the life and birth of Jesus in the Old Testament. It's all written down. They knew that it was going to happen. That in Bethlehem, the land of Judah, was by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew the scriptures. They knew the promises, but they missed the fulfillment. I just find it startling, this lack of desire to meet the new king. But in our Bible passage today, we're talking about some extraordinary men who actually did recognize Jesus. They did receive him, and they did believe him. They were the exception. And it wasn't Jews. It was people, foreigners, probably astrologers, the unexpected ones, who responded to the birth of the Messiah. So the wise men in this story today, I think, are very special people. And I want to talk about three things which make them special today. So three things, hopefully you can remember, and they're these three themes I've got on the next slide. So first of all, they had this extraordinary hunger. They had an extraordinary hunger for God, for relationship with God. Throughout the whole story, we see that they are in relationship with God. They're listening to God, God's speaking to them, and they're in that loop of relationship. And this hunger led them to seek for the new king. Secondly, their extraordinary faith led them to follow the star. Faith is all about action, not just knowing stuff. It's about what do we do with the things that we know. And they took action and persevered until they found him. And then finally, I want to talk about their extraordinary devotion, which led them to worship, and the way in which they worshipped, which was really special and extraordinary. So three things I want to talk about today. So first of all, the way they sought for Jesus, this extraordinary hunger that they had. It says in chapter 2 and verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Story and tradition suggests that these men were observers of the stars, probably expert astrologers, and probably from modern day Iraq, somewhere, where Babylon, somewhere like that, which is over 1,000 kilometers away from Jerusalem. And we read later in Matthew that Herod tried to kill all the young boys under 2 years old because he'd found out from these wise men when they'd seen the star appear. So that was the time that they probably left home. They'd probably been traveling for close to 2 years to get to the Holy Land to see Jesus. And it says here that they arrived in Jerusalem and said, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So when Jesus was born, it seems that this star appeared. And these men with extraordinary wisdom received a revelation that this star was significant. It meant that a new king had been born, King of the Jews. So they were seekers. They were open to God. God was speaking to them and they were listening. They saw the signs. They saw the sign exactly when it rose. When the star rose, they saw it. And they understood its meaning. They didn't just see something and, wow, that's interesting. They were interested in the meaning behind the star. It doesn't say it in the Bible, but I think that they received this divine revelation that the meaning of the star was that a new king had been born for the Jews. So imagine these men, wherever they were in Babylon, a new king has been born for the Jews. I'm just so impressed with these wise men through the story, just how they seek God continuously. They saw the star and they recognized it wasn't just a random event. It had significance. And later in verse 9 and 10, it says they were overjoyed when they saw the star again. There's this immediacy with their relationship with God, God guiding them. They probably didn't know where to go next, and then suddenly God showed them the next step, and they followed the star again. And finally, being warned in a dream, they took a different route home. They were just open to God. They were seekers who were connected to God in a very simple way. Simplicity in their faith is really amazing, a direct connection to God. And the fact that they were so open to divine guidance. So I think the challenge for this for me is, this morning, is how open am I for God to speak to me? Am I hungry for him? Am I seeking for him? Because God does want to speak to each one of us personally, specifically. And when he does that, am I going to get it or am I going to miss it? Will I be listening? Perhaps God's spoken to me and I missed it. I've got to say, you know, personally, that I struggle to make special time in my life for God to speak to me. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened, doesn't he? God doesn't force his way into our lives. He wants us to ask, he wants us to seek, he wants us to knock. Actually, I find quite often God speaks to me in dreams, and I sometimes joke about it. It's not really a joke, but I say, you know, I'm so busy when I'm awake, he has to speak to me when I'm asleep. Perhaps that's true. But it's a challenge, isn't it, to have that hunger for God, to desire to spend time with him so that he can speak to us. And it's not just about me. I think it's true that God is speaking, like he spoke to these wise men, many thousands of hundreds of miles away from the Holy Land. God is speaking to people right across the town, across the world, unlikely people even today. I've found that over the last few years, I've met many people where God has spoken to them, and it's unexpected. They weren't in a church, perhaps they were in a shower, they were just walking in the fields and God said something to them. You know, God is speaking and he wants to find people who are seeking for him. And I think a challenge for us here is, what happens if somebody in this town is seeking for God and they know that God's real and they just don't know how to find him, and then they walk in through the door? You know, how are we going to receive those people? How are we going to bless them? How are we going to help them on their journey? You know, it's great for us to be ready to meet with other people who are seeking for God. I think there's many people around who are. And if that's you today, I'd love to speak to you after the service, share with you how you can follow Jesus, pray with you, and invite you to take your next step in your journey of faith. So the first thing we learn about these men were they were seekers. The second thing was they had extraordinary faith. The first verse says, we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. They saw the sign, they understood its meaning, and they did something about it. They didn't sit there and think, oh, that's nice. They knew the correct action, and they did the right thing. They came to worship, and it wasn't easy. You know, a long journey required perseverance, courage, dedication. In the Bible, in James, we read, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. When we act upon our faith, that proves that our faith is real. Now, of course, it makes logical sense that they find out that this new king of the Jews has been born. Where are they going to go? The capital of the Jewish nation. They come to Jerusalem, and eventually they come into contact with Herod, who's the ruler at that time. Now, he's not a godly man, but he believes that there's something in the quest of these wise men. And so he goes to the Jews and finds out from their Old Testament scriptures where this new king would be born. And the Jews knew the scriptures and said to Herod, it's going to be Bethlehem. So Herod sends the wise men to Bethlehem. It's funny, isn't it? These wise men are looking for Jesus. Herod, who's an enemy of God, really, wants to destroy the baby Jesus, ends up being used to direct them to Bethlehem. And of course, Herod wanted to find out, it was deceitful that he was using this motive, because he wanted to destroy the new king, and that obviously wasn't allowed. But we can see in this story how God uses even an evil man like Herod, who was opposed to God, to guide the wise men. They're guided through this story, first of all by the star, then by King Herod, and later they're guided directly by a dream. And every time they acted upon that guidance. It's really impressive. They didn't wait. They didn't hang around and say, oh, I'll give it a few weeks and then I'll do something about it. They were there immediately acting upon the guidance that they had. The journey they took required huge faith. I can imagine after a long time on the road, sometimes they may have had doubts. I think I would have done. You know, it's a long way to go. Are you sure we got this right? You know, it's a tough journey. It's a long way to go, you know. But they didn't give up, did they? And they hung on to their gifts right until they found the Messiah, through all of the different thick and thin of their journey. And when they arrived in Jerusalem, it's really impressive the way they spoke. They didn't say, we've got this hunch, we've got this feeling there might be a king here, we're not quite sure about it, we're not quite sure we've heard right. They say, where is the one, yeah, the one, who has been born King of the Jews? They know with more certainty, perhaps, than anyone else in the Jewish kingdom, that this extraordinary event has happened. That's the speaking of faith from their lives. So as I prepared for today, I found myself challenged by their faith and their action, the way they acted upon their faith and turned it into real action. And it's a good time, I guess, at the end of 2023, before we go into a new year, to think about the things that God has said to you this year, where you still haven't quite turned it into action. I'm sure some of you have got things where you know God has said something to you, and it requires action. So you've got at least a week before the end of the year. And it's a good time, isn't it, to start the new year with a clean slate and say, yeah, God, you spoke to me and I've done something about it. Those personal words you said to me, it may not require you to take a long journey like the wise men, but however large or however small, take your moment today to think about what that thing is, and I encourage you to get on with it. God blesses us when we act in faith. So the third thing about the wise men, which I think is really special, is their extraordinary devotion. And that you can see in their worship. Worship is actually their mission. It's the reason they set out on their journey. We have come to worship. That's why they traveled all those miles. That's why they endured all the difficulties of the journey. They were coming to worship. Their journey would not be complete until they had worshipped. Secondly, their worship was pretty costly, wasn't it? You know, it cost them something. It doesn't say that they were rich, actually. It says they were wise or magi. But the gifts they brought were certainly worth a bit of money. Now, I'm guessing it would have been tempting to have sold them on the way or used them to pay for things, luxuries, foods. But they kept their gifts, didn't they, over the whole journey, because they knew that giving these costly gifts to the new King of the Jews was important. And worship does sometimes cost us something. It's not always free or easy. They didn't scrimp, did they? And they prepared for worship. They didn't just turn up unprepared. They prepared long in advance. And they thought about it, what they were going to bring and how they were going to worship this new king. And finally, we see their worship was inspired. You know, when we make a choice to worship God, God comes to us by His Holy Spirit to strengthen and enable us to worship better. It's really beautiful that these men, and the Bible doesn't say there were three of them, but we always, because there were three gifts, we assume there were three. There may have been more or less, we don't know. But they bought these three very significant gifts: gold, a precious metal for a king, frankincense, a really sweet-smelling resin, which is used as a fragrance and used in divine worship, speaking of the fact that Jesus is God, and myrrh, which speaks of Jesus' future death. It was an embalming liquid used for a dead body. They brought these significant gifts under the direction of the Holy Spirit. It's a really strange scene, isn't it? Just imagine this home, probably a humble, simple home. Jesus there, less than 2 years old, a small boy with his mum. And these grown men, much older, much wiser, of great learning and wisdom, education, are bowing down and worshipping this child and presenting him with these extraordinary gifts. And they're not embarrassed. They're not wondering whether the neighbours are looking through the window and thinking, what are they doing? What's this strange thing that's going on? They are just single-minded. They have come to worship. It's their passion. They've persevered on a long journey. They've negotiated difficult situations in Jerusalem. Perhaps they even struggled with uncertainty and doubt on their journey. But finally, their single purpose of their journey is fulfilled. And they worship without hesitation, without reserve, and without question. And God loves it when we worship in this way, extravagantly, single-mindedly, sometimes in a costly way, in a way that's beautiful to Him. So let's make our decision to worship God more fully, more wholeheartedly, and not hold back anything. So they were my three thoughts for today. The wise men really are an inspiration to me. I think they're a great example, these exceptional men who traveled so far to worship Jesus. Let's make a decision today not to be like the neighbors who had Jesus on their doorstep and didn't perhaps realize what they had. They'd received all the promises, but when they came, many of them missed the fact that he'd been born. Let's be like these wise men. Let's ask God to increase in us an extraordinary hunger to seek him. What does this mean for you in this new year ahead? What changes am I going to make in my life, my use of my time? What plans can I make in this new year to spend time with God and to listen to him in 2024? Secondly, let's be inspired by their extraordinary faith. Let's not just hear from God and sleep on it. Let's follow through with action. Just as they followed the star and persevered over many miles of difficult travel and continued believing in faith in their mission, which was to meet this new king. And let's also consider their extraordinary worship and consider how we can worship God more fully in the year ahead. Of course, with our voices, when we come to church, worship in the shower, worship in the car, wherever you are, but with our whole lives, with our money, our possessions, our time, God wants it all. And remember, in the end, they came and they made this long journey to meet baby Jesus. So that is what Christmas is all about, for us to offer him our worship this Christmas time. May God bless you today as you seek, follow, and worship our King Jesus over this Christmas season. Thank you.